You may remember, as we continue back in our study of James, you may remember when we first started, one of the things that James taught us was that we need to be quick to listen and slow to speak. And the reason for that is our words can get us in a lot of trouble. The things that we say can create problems for us. And I imagine most of us here in our lives had somebody, probably our mom, maybe our dad, say, "You better watch your mouth." And James has that for us right now as we tackle this. So let's look at verses 1 through 5 of chapter 3. He says, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness." Now, who's he talking to here? Well, I think he's addressing some of the know-it-alls in the church, some of the people who were telling everybody else what they should know and what they should do. And we probably all know a few know-it-alls, don't we? And if you don't know a know-it-all, chances are you're the know-it-all. So take note of that. And he says this, "For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man." Now, that, remember that idea of completion, of maturity. "Able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things." Now, what's his point here for us? Well, it's pretty simple. My words guide my life. Your words guide your life. Think about the things, if you can just go back in your history a little bit and think about the things that you said yes to or no to and how they have led you to this point and place and time. And think about some of the journeys you've been on, and some pleasant and maybe some unpleasant, and you can trace it back to, "I wish I had never said that." When I was a youngster, I hated school. Just hated it. And I remember my mom coming to me one day before school ever started, and she asked me, "Would you like to start kindergarten this year?" And what I didn't understand is I could have waited a year because of my age, but she said, "Would you like to start kindergarten?" I said, "Yes, sure. Why not?" I remember a couple years later thinking, I should never have told her yes. I would never have to have done the school thing if I had said no to kindergarten at that moment. Maybe you can remember, ladies, when your husband got down on his knee and asked you, or sat across and said, "Will you marry me?" Or guys, you remember that moment. You put it all on the line. Open the little box up. "Will you?" And her answer drove the rest of your life for many years to come, just based on the words that we use and what we say yes to and what we say no to. Now, last week, Steve Spear was here. And Steve is with Team World Vision. And Steve, a number of years ago, kind of heard the question in his heart and in his mind, "Will you run across the country from the Pacific coast to the Atlantic coast to raise water, raise money for clean water in Africa?" And he wound up saying yes to that question. And it's guided his life ever since. Now, that was a big question. But you and I oftentimes get faced with smaller questions along the way. And this morning, I want to bring up someone who said yes recently. One of the things that Steve does, and he along does, they go into churches and they say, "Would you like to run a half marathon or a marathon? We have a couch to finish line training for you, and would you like to do this and raise money for clean water?" Cody Richmond recently said yes. He heard that call, heard someone ask, and he said yes. So Cody, I'm just going to ask you to come up here and tell us how you kind of got to that place where you heard that question and what's changed since then.
Awesome. Good morning, guys.
Let's all welcome Cody, by the way.
Thanks. Yeah, so like he said, there's a process that got me to this point. Saying yes is amazing, but I don't believe that saying yes is a one-and-done thing. It's saying yes every day, saying yes to questions that you're asked, opportunities all the time. So when I'm talking about saying yes to Team World Vision, I really want to go back about a year ago in my life to kind of show you guys the process to get me to this point. So about a year ago, I was pretty fresh out of college. I got done at UIndy, graduated. I was in an internship down here in Bloomington, applying for jobs, but I was really living a very me-centered life. Every decision I was making was about what's going to make me happy. I was applying to jobs and places to try to get out of Indiana, go somewhere cool in South Carolina or Tennessee, something like that. I think I applied to 100 jobs. And between all the choices I was making and the career search, I was just pretty bitter with the world, with God, everything. I wasn't getting the job that I thought I deserved and living the life I thought I deserved. But then I got into probably a low point for me and had a change and decided to turn over my career, where I'm going to end up, into God's hands. And then at that point, I started getting opportunities for interviews, flew to New York for an interview, just things were starting to look up, and it was great. And then on the last day of that internship, I got offered a position, and it was where I felt like God was calling me, which was weird because it happened to be 2 miles away from UIndy, which was exactly where I was trying to get away from. But I felt like God was saying, I'm not done with you in Indianapolis yet. So I decided to take that job, and I went back up there with two conditions. One, I needed to live kind of a different area, so I didn't feel like I was back in the exact same spot. And two, I needed to plug into a church, get involved, serve on every opportunity I could. So since then, that right there has changed my life almost completely, because I've taken every opportunity I can to say yes, whether it's serving, volunteering on Saturdays with the church, or Sunday mornings, whatever they need help with. And it's just made a huge difference in my life. And then I was just in this mode of saying yes, and one day we had the Indianapolis Team World Vision leader at our church speaking, and they said, hey, we'd love to have volunteers meet us after church for an info session about running a half or full marathon. So I'm like, yeah, sure. I'm saying yes to everything else. Why not? That sounds cool. You know, raise some money. Didn't really sink in until probably the week later what I was actually agreeing to, because I'm not a runner. I don't like running, and I don't like asking people for money. And since then, I've really learned I'm not asking people for money. I'm asking people to join me in a journey of providing clean water for the people over in Africa. That we're at a point where Team World Vision is making a huge impact, and it's down. We're still sitting at about 800 million people in the world that do not have access to clean water. So the point of the marathon, I said yes to the half marathon, is to run miles to take away from the miles that the kids are having to walk every single day, 6 kilometers one way, to just to scoop up some dirty water to bring back to their families, and then that's what they're drinking. Most kids' families are ending up sick. The statistics right now are only half of the kids don't even make it to age 5 because of the dirty water that they're drinking on a daily basis. And that's really the why now. I said yes because I wanted to say yes and be involved, but those numbers are just crazy to me. And it's not something, you might have heard of World Vision talk for a long time, so it feels like it's a constant battle, but they do have an end goal with this clean water. And we predict to eliminate the clean water crisis in the world by 2030. So then that was one yes, an internal yes, everything. Then this week, I had heard about Steve coming last week. And how many of you guys got to be here for Steve last week? That was pretty awesome. He ran across the country, and I think that's insane, but that's awesome. It was huge. And then I looked at me, and I just signed up for the 13 miles. I'm like, man, I'm doing nothing. So I went for a run on Monday. I was only supposed to run 3 miles for my training. I was in Cincinnati for work, so I'm staying in a hotel I've never stayed in, jogging, and I started thinking to myself, I'm like, all right, if I can raise this much money by this time, then maybe I'll upgrade and do the full marathon. And then I'm thinking, I don't know, how about if God just gives me a sign while I'm running, I'll do the full marathon. And then I'm thinking, if I can make it to 10 miles today, then I'll do the full marathon. Then the strangest thing happens, my phone dies, which had my GPS tracking me on it. So I lost in touch of how far I was actually running. So obviously that didn't work out. I'm like, okay, I guess I'm not doing the full marathon. But I kind of hung my head, and I'm running, and I'm looking at my shoes, and I'm wearing Nikes. And I don't know if you guys know what Nike's slogan is. Just do it. I'm like, I don't know if that's a sign from God, but it's a lot more fun to take it like that. And you know, saying just do it for that marathon, my goal right now is to run the full marathon, and that's even if I can raise one more. So it's $50 to provide clean water for a kid for the rest of their life. So if I can even save one more life by running the full marathon rather than the half, that's worth it to me. The rest of that story wasn't really funny because then I was running in an area I didn't know. So I proceeded to get lost, and I'm pretty sure I ran my half marathon that night because I didn't get back to it. It was pitch black outside. I actually ended up at a different hotel, and it was a mess. But point is, you can wait for to feel like you're being called, or you have this huge story, like you hear people have this big calling from God to serve in some miraculous way, but you shouldn't wait for that. Any opportunity you have, if you can say yes to, it's going to make a difference in somebody's life, and it's going to make a difference in your life. One thing I keep in mind is God does not need me to serve him, but other people are going to benefit from it, and I, in order for the life to be the life that I need to live a Christian life, I need to serve him. So that's my challenge to any of you guys, is to say yes to any opportunity you can. It's changed my life in many ways, so thank you for listening.
All right. Thank you, man. So, a couple options. One, you could go running with Cody in his half or full marathon later, or you could donate toward his run. And if you'd like to do that, if you're interested in that, the link there is in the outline at the back of the program. So just take a look at that if you're interested. Also, Pam and Jake Martindale are trying to put together maybe a team to do a run next year, and so in 2019. And so if you know them or are interested in this, seek them out. Otherwise, keep an eye open for information that comes along for them. Now, let's just say this. We've put a lot in front of you in the last few weeks about putting some muscle to your faith. And we've had some focus here on World Vision and the efforts there. But let me just say this. There are plenty of opportunities out there for you. And you might say, well, I'm not so sure about this or I'm not sure about that. Then find something. Find something and do something. Just do it. You know, put that muscle to your faith and go for something, whether it's sponsor a child with World Vision or Compassion International. I know some of you do that. Whether helping out with our local food pantry, whether serving here in the church. We have lots of ministry opportunities. But do something. Get involved. Say yes. Let that yes guide your life. As you say yes to positive things, things that draw you closer, things that help you as a disciple of Jesus to learn and grow in Him. Whether it be a small group, whatever it might be. When you hear of these opportunities, put that fear aside and step into the moment and pick something and go for it and see what God does in you and through you and for you. Now, appreciate Cody's sharing so much with us as individuals. I want to talk for a moment about us as a congregation and how our words guide us. So, one of the things that I told the search team way back almost 2 years ago was that when it came to the idea of a vision and a mission and those type of things, I wasn't going to just say, here's my game plan, guys, work it. I wasn't coming in as the head coach saying, here's how you guys need to do everything. Just follow whatever I say, whatever I do. I think it's something we need to work out together. So you may remember back in April, we had you fill out a survey about values, and we gave you a number of different values to rank as either what you thought was not important, somewhat important, important, or very important. And 103 of you responded to that, which was huge. In survey world, that's huge to get that kind of response. And so we took that, and the elders took that, and they looked at that, and we decided that as we put together the most important, or the important and the very important, and then found the percentage of that of out of the respondents, that we would use 85% or above as kind of, here's something we highly all agree, that we all would say, yeah, this is the important stuff right here. These are the values. We then put together a team from the congregation, myself and then Kevin, and we met in June and July, and we took those values that were identified and created value statements. Now, what's going to happen with these value statements? These are going to become kind of guiding forces for us, and we still need to work, redo our mission statement and our vision statement. But these become kind of a guiding principles for us because we hold these things important to us. And we also decided that rather than just say we value or we believe, we kind of put a call to action to it. So I just want to run through these. Now, in October and November, I'm going to unpack these a lot more and go into detail and talk about the different terms and what the implications are for us. So I'm just going to share these briefly with you. The reason we do that now is, one, just to give you an update on this process. Two is, if you look at these and you have some questions and would like to ask those questions, this information, the raw data, plus along with the statements themselves, are out at the hub, and you can grab one of those, and you can send me an email. Now, what I'm not looking for, what we're not looking for, is 200-plus people saying, you know, I would have used an A rather than a the at that point, or I would have written up this way. We're not looking to rewrite these things. What we are looking for is feedback from you if there's something that's not clear. If you're wondering about the implications of any of the statements, please give us some feedback on that. But here they are. So we believe, kind of as followers of Jesus, we here at ECC are called to the following. We are called to know and obey the authoritative word of God. We are called to proclaim God's glory through a life of worship. We are called to love all people fearlessly and impartially. We are called to pray faithfully and confidently about all things. We are called to invite all people to experience life in Jesus. We are called to encourage and care for others through authentic relationships. And finally, we are called to share our resources generously to build God's kingdom. Like I said, in a few months or a couple of months here, we're going to unpack these and go into more detail. But as you reflect on those and think about those, you begin to see how they can provide direction as we begin to build our strategies as a church and say, what are we going to do and what are we not going to do based on what we hold to be important and of value. So I just wanted to share those with you, give you that update. Like I said, if you have questions, please feel free to shoot me an email. Otherwise, kind of watch for more information. Now let's go on in our text here a little bit. We want to pick up the second part of verse 5 and work our way down to verse 8. We read this, "How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire." Perhaps you've seen in California and other places these massive wildfires that start oftentimes with a very small spark. It says, "And the tongue itself is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind." Now, I know just for a moment, let me just pause right there and introduce you to the idea of hyperbole. Because if you know this, you know, I don't know of anybody taming sharks. And we're not riding seahorses yet, like Aquaman. He's using hyperbole. He's kind of making a bigger point here to remind us we've been able to tame and train a lot of animals, but somehow we still can't get a hold of the tongue. He says, "But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison." What do we take away from this? Well, we've seen that our words can guide our life. And one of the things that we see is our words can guide our life into bad places because our words can be dangerous. Our words can be very dangerous. You've heard the old phrase, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." Lies, right? I imagine we've all been hurt by someone's words at some point or other. Mere words have ended marriages. They've started wars. You can break the spirit of a child with the words. So we need to be careful about the words that we use, because they can impact us and they can impact the people in our lives. And so we need to think about our words, the tone that we use, how we communicate to people. If you don't want your life and the life of people that you impact to go to bad places, learn to get a hold of your words, to train your tongue best that you can. And sometimes the old adage is best. Sometimes if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Sometimes we have to be reminded, we have to learn that as kids, just because you think it, you don't have to say it. Now let's go on just a little bit more here. He says, "With it," talking about the tongue, "with it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water." Now, think just for a moment about that. And what he's telling us is that our words need some consistency. How many times have you, after spending a morning in here praising God, smiling at people, "Hey, how you doing?" lying when you say, "Hey, I'm fine." And then you go out and you get in the car and, "Well, I can't believe what he said. Can you believe what she wore? Do you know about this or that?" Or you're yelling at your kids, fussing with each other. I didn't mean to hurt feelings there. I'm sorry. Our words need consistency. We can't at the same time give praise to God and then curse people who are made in His image. You know, one of the things that I found for me is that giving up cussing was easy. There was a season of my life, kind of post-high school and before I went off to Bible college, I was just in a bad place, and my language showed it. And I began working at a hotel with a guy who was a Christian. And one day he said to me, "You say you're a Christian?"
"Yeah."
"Why do you talk like that?" Well, that just set me back a little bit. But it was just what I needed, and it began to move my life in a direction as he and I talked more and more about faith issues. But here's what I found. It was easy for me to quit cussing. It was easy. Piece of cake for me. But you know what I found to be harder? To stop whining. Stop complaining. Stop grumbling. Stop gossiping. That's the hard stuff, isn't it? But yet, so often we'll tell ourselves, we'll fool ourselves and say, I don't cuss, I don't say bad words, I don't take the Lord's name in vain. But yet, we will tear other people down with our words. And think because we don't say a four-letter word over here. So we need to think about that. You may be someone, you don't use bad language. In fact, you don't even say, "Gosh, dang, or darn." And you got upset that I just did. But you'll say something about somebody that you shouldn't. So we really need to get a hold of our tongues and be consistent in what we're saying. Now let's go on just a little bit further and figure out how do we do this. Who is wise? Look at verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Remember, he's talking to those know-it-alls. By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. Remember, this has been a theme of James. Action is more important than words. And if you're using your word, the wrong words, stop it and start using the right words and the right action. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, even demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And the harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. What's he telling us here? Our words begin in our hearts. And if you try to change your words without changing your heart, you're always going to have trouble. Focus on the heart. So let me ask you to ask yourself this morning, how's your heart doing? What's going on? Can you do just a little spiritual EKG this morning? Do you have some unforgiveness that's hanging out in your heart? Do you have some bitterness that's taken root against yourself, against other people, person in your life, even God? Have you got some sin that's been hanging out and you've never brought out into the light? You've never confessed it to God. You've never confessed it to anyone. And it's just this dark place within your heart that's impacting you. How is your heart doing? Are you full of resentment, frustration, anger? That stuff is going to come out in your words. It may not come out in a four-letter word, but it will come out in words that will do harm to you and to others, that will guide your life to bad places, places you will regret being. So how's your heart doing? I want to invite you to do something here because, you know, through the week, we are just so plugged in constantly. We have messages on, we have the TV on, we have our phones out and we're looking, and it's easy to push those thoughts that tells us something is off back down. But I want to invite you right now, let's let those things come out. And why don't you talk to God? You have a quiet moment here. and that there's some stuff in your heart that needs attended to, why don't you talk to God about that and about how you can begin to make those changes? So why don't you pray just quietly where you're at? The team will come up in a little bit, and I'll pray, and we'll go from there. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you because you made us. You are our daddy. And we come because where else can we go to find the words of life? Lord, I think many of us are here this morning because we know there's no other place to be. Something still draws us forward. Even if we're unsure yet of our commitments, there's something that tells us. There's something besides the things that we see and the touch and feel in this world. There's a truth beyond us. There's something bigger. And we need to get in touch with it. And it's you. So Lord, right now, as we search out our hearts, as we invite you, Father, to come and speak into us with that still small voice, to show us where things are out of place, out of line, where changes need to be made. Lord, help us to hear. Help us to respond in a way that brings us to life. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.